Do you want to play rock? Say hello to my new friend.
What the hell's going on out here?
That's a bingo.
888-971-SAGE. 888-971-7243. Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Next segment, we will be talking with economist John Lott about the phenomenon of releasing prisoners because of the coronavirus while shutting down gun stores because of the coronavirus. All of that next segment. We were talking about the $2 trillion bill that Congress and the White House are wrangling over and about all the stuff that Nancy Pelosi wanted put in. She wanted union tax credits for solar panels. She wanted greater emission standards for airlines. Wanted a union rep to be a member of the board of every airline. More money for Planned Parenthood initially. $35 million for the Kennedy Center that's now been reduced to $25 million. Nancy Pelosi says everything on the bill relates to the coronavirus.
I want us to be able to go forward. It's not a bill I would have written in terms of some things that relate to family medical leave, that relate to worker protections, that ruling on worker protections. But that can be done administratively. We can.
Yeah. Here's what the president said about all the crap that they wanted passed.
I canceled the deal last night. I said, I'm not going to sign that deal because Nancy Pelosi came in and put a lot of things in the deal that had nothing to do with the workers, that had to do with an agenda that they've been trying to get passed for 10 years. And I came in, I told Mike, I told a lot of people, there's no way I'm signing that deal. I was getting calls from John Kennedy, from Ben Sasse, from many, many people, Lindsay. I was getting calls from a lot of different people saying this deal, Tom Cotton, this deal is terrible, what they've done. They took a deal. You know, we almost had a deal the day before, and it was between Schumer and Mitch, and it was really a good, solid deal. All of a sudden, they start throwing all of the little Green New Deal stuff in, right? And the boardrooms, what they look like, and we want green energy. We want all this stuff. Let's stop drilling oil. They had things in there that were terrible, windmills all over the place and all sorts of credits for windmills that killed the birds and ruined the real estate, right? A lot of problems. And I said, I'm not signing this deal.
$2 trillion.
Now they've renegotiated.
It's hard to...
Even Don Lemon at CNN agreed that the bill was stuffed with stuff that had nothing whatever to do with the coronavirus.
There should be limits. All of the things that are being brought up by the Democrats here, you could argue, are necessary things that need changing. Everything about the crises that we're seeing here, jobs, economy, financial crisis, come back to the underlying vulnerabilities. The fact that 40% of households in this country cannot cut a $500 check. These things do need addressing. I guess the argument that a lot of people are making, and I'll make it too, is we can't address all of these issues at this moment when so many people are threatened with unemployment. People are afraid of being able to pay their rent, their mortgages, going out and buying food. There's too much uncertainty. This stimulus package should not be called a stimulus package or a bailout package. It's an investment in survival, Don, and we have to call it that. And these guys need to, like, pull themselves together and agree something.
This is not the time to slip your agenda and your pet projects in. This is the time to get help to the American people.
And this is why President Trump's approval ratings are going up. People that don't pay attention to this stuff are watching it. Wait. Money for the Kennedy Center? Money for Planned Parenthood? You demand that a union rep be at least one member of every airline board? You want the airlines to reduce their carbon footprint by 50% by 2050? What the hell does this have to do with coronavirus? Now, Andrew Cuomo was complaining about the failure of the federal government to provide ventilators.
There is no other way for us to get these ventilators. We've tried everything else. The only way we can obtain these ventilators is from the federal government, period. And there's two ways the federal government can do it. One is to use the Federal Defense Production Act. There is a federal law.
Now, before he continues, you remember I told you about the bill that Jimmy Carter signed that created FEMA? You look at the number of states that declared federal disasters before FEMA, before the FEMA bill, and look at the number of states that, that declared federal disasters after FEMA. All of a sudden, things that states were able to do themselves suddenly became federal disasters. Why buy snow removal equipment when you have a blizzard? You can declare it a federal disaster. Federal government comes in and gives you the funds. Why should you spend that money on that when you can spend the money on something else? And that's what's going on. Now, later on, President Trump noted that Cuomo had an opportunity to buy, 15,000, 17,000 ventilators in 2015 at a relatively cheap price, had other priorities. Back to Cuomo complaining, though.
Where the federal government can say to manufacturers, you must produce this product.
He wants the president to use the Emergency Powers Act and mandate that manufacturers make protective equipment, personal protective equipment. I just now told you, Mike Lindell didn't have to put a gun to his head. This is going on all across the country where manufacturers, out of either patriotism, sense of community, or a profit incentive, or a combination of all of them. Doesn't matter. All around this country, without putting a gun to anybody's head, people are stepping up and making things that are in need.
I understand the federal government's point that many companies have come forward and said, we want to help, and General Motors and Ford, and people are willing to get into the ventilator business. It does us no good if they start to create a ventilator in 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 5 weeks. We're looking at an apex of 14 days.
All right. So you hear that. Here's what Trump said.
This says New York Governor Cuomo rejected buying recommended 16,000 ventilators in 2015 for the pandemic, for a pandemic. Established death panels and lotteries instead. So he had a chance to buy in 2015 16,000 ventilators at a very low price, and he turned it down. I'm not blaming him or anything else, but he shouldn't be talking about us. He's supposed to be buying his own ventilators. We're going to help. But if you think about Governor Cuomo, we're building him 4 hospitals. We're building him 4 medical centers. We're working very, very hard for the people of New York. We're working along with him. And then I watch him on the show complaining. And he had 16,000 ventilators that he could have had at a great price, and he didn't buy them.
Well, he complains, and then he doesn't complain.
Politics is a funny business, even, it seems, in the middle of a global pandemic. On the question of the federal government helping New York State, I want you to listen here. We talked about this yesterday. Governor Cuomo Tuesday versus Governor Cuomo Wednesday.
Only the federal government has that power. And not to exercise that power is inexplicable to me. I do not, for the life of me, understand the reluctance to use the Federal Defense Production Act. The president and his team, I think, are using the DPA well because it's basically a form, it's a leverage tool when you're dealing with private companies.
Those are two very different people, and that's the same man.
Two very different people, and that's the same man. Because they want stuff. Are you going to get stuff by ticking him off? Calling him incompetent? Saying he doesn't care? Sanjay Gupta on Trump wanting the country to open up by Easter?
Well, you know, I think the concern is, and what you're hearing from public health officials, I'm hearing the same thing, Jake, is that would put us behind again. You know, we'll have been doing the social distancing for about a month at that point, maybe not even quite. If you look at places around the world where they've gone through this curve now and had some success, thankfully, China, South Korea, places like that, it was an 8 to 12 week, sort of 8 to 10 weeks at least, proposition. So it's not like one of those things you can do sort of incrementally. As we've talked about, if you're going to do this, you do it early, you do it consistently, you do it honestly, diligently, because if you give up too early, you kind of erase the gains that you've made. And
when we come back, John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, on shutting down gun stores while releasing prisoners because of the coronavirus. What's up with that? I'm Larry Elder.
Now back to the sage, Larry Elder.
Hey, great show, Larry. Hey, listen, that virus, we got a Pearl Harbor on the virus. Everybody did. Nobody knew what to do, where to go, anything. Nobody knew nothing. So everybody's guessing. Let's try this. Let's do that. Let's do this. And you can't down everybody for trying something because nobody really knows what to do. So after somebody does something and it don't work, the next day, people like CNN, they're downing everybody. You can't do that. You just can't down people for that. They're trying. Not just the president, everybody. They're even downing the doctors. It's a shame.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. One of the members of the coronavirus task force suggests that if you've been to New York recently, you should self-isolate for 14 days. All of that and more. Also, Joe Biden has a new ad in which he attacks President Trump's response to the coronavirus, which raises the question, what would Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. do about it? All that and more. 888-971-SAGE is our number. My next guest has written a piece for the National Review. It's up on LarryElder.com. It's called Are Gun Stores Essential Businesses? He is founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He has taught or held positions at a bunch of different universities, prestigious universities, University of Chicago, Yale, Wharton, Stanford, Rice. He was also the chief economist at the U.S. Sentencing Commission during 1988-1999. Please welcome back to the program, founder and president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, Professor John Lott. John, how are you?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again.
John, are you working from home, I assume?
Actually, I'm kind of stuck on the road right now at the moment. So, but I guess I'm at a hotel.
I guess what I'm asking is, regarding the Crime Prevention Research Center, are you open? Are you closed? What are you doing with your employees?
Well, we're open for right now, but I have to tell you, we're nonprofit and we depend on donations. And the donations, as I'm sure for a lot of people, have just fallen off the cliff in the last month. So I appreciate you asking, but I'll keep working even without pay for a while, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, John, your article is up on LarryElder.com. Riddle me this. In L.A. County, I think it is L.A. County, they're releasing something like 1,700 prisoners and also forcing gun stores to close down because they're non-essential. What could go wrong, John?
Right. Yeah, I know. I mean, here we have kind of a perfect storm in a sense that police, in many police departments across the country, are not responding to many calls that come in. And I understand that. I mean, Los Angeles County, they're giving police officers gloves and masks and other things. But when you're actually having to arrest somebody, the mask may come off. And, you can get in altercations with people. And, there's a reasonable chance that the officers could get this virus. I mean, it's not like some other jobs, not like myself, where I can telecommute in and do the research from home. The officers actually have to be out there in the field, and that poses real risks for their health. As you also say, you have it so that prisoners across the country are being released. They're also not arresting people because the notion is that people outside the prison may be more likely right now to have the virus than those that are in the prison. And so they don't want to go and introduce more people into the prison environment, the closed environment that's there. And as you say, they're releasing lots of prisoners that are already there, people that may be high risk of infection or may have other complications, immune deficiency disorders or other illnesses. And, and just in general, right now we have shortages. You combine that with the fact that police, are being restricted in what they could do. And simply being able to have a gun seems like a very common sense thing for people to do for protection in these types of situations. You don't have to be a prepper to understand the benefits from being able to protect yourself and your family.
And John Lott, yesterday I was talking about the number of LAPD officers that have contracted the coronavirus, and the number of NYPD officers that have contracted the virus is three times the number of the LAPD officers. So not only do you have the problem of the prisoners being released and officers being concerned about their safety, also you have fewer of them because many of them are sick.
Right. No, I mean, it's understandable. And if you have fewer officers and you're less likely to catch people anyway, and you're less likely to put them in jail even when you do catch them, guess what happens? Criminals are more likely to go and commit crimes than they would have been otherwise. If you don't make it as risky for criminals to go and commit crimes as they did before, they're going to commit more crimes.
You know, John, I'm from Los Angeles, and I remember looking at the photographs of store owners on the roofs of their stores with AR-15s because of a fear of fire and looting.
Right, the Korean store owners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, if the mayor of Los Angeles and other mayors can go and promise that they can protect everybody all the time in Los Angeles, that's great. But you know, anybody who's looked at my research knows that I think police are extremely important. I think police are the single most important factor for reducing crime. But when you talk to the police themselves or look at surveys of police, one thing you quickly notice is the police themselves know that already they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crimes occurred. These types of circumstances that we're dealing with right now make what are already difficult and dangerous jobs for police that much more difficult and dangerous.
Right before this order to shut down gun stores, John, out here, and I know around the country, gun store owners say that they've not seen sales this big in a long time because people are concerned about the breakdown of the social order. If we go this long without people working, food shortages, toilet paper shortages, that there is a fear that some people may decide to take things that don't belong to them.
Right. Look, I mean, we're not quite at the zombie apocalypse right now, but if you look at sales of ammunition in the first 21 days of February versus the next 21 days, they've gone up over 300%. During that period of time. We don't know how much gun sales have gone up. We won't know that for another week or so. But presumably there have been huge increases in gun sales. Even before that, I think simply because of a lot of the rhetoric in Democratic presidential campaigns, you've mm-hmm. seen a big increase in gun sales starting in October. Well, one thing that's happened over the last month...
20 seconds, John.
Yeah, it's been the breakdown of the background check system. There have been so many people trying to buy guns that I've talked to a number of licensed dealers that told me that it's simply impossible for them to go and complete the sales because they can't get the background check approved.
The article is called "Are Gun Stores Essential Businesses?" It is by my guest, John Lott. John, as always, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Great for you being there. Thanks.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show. Welcome back to the pain-free ReliefFactor.com studios. It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
Hey, Larry, this is Victoria from San Diego. Just wanted to let you know that we have a child care center, and what we did is we certainly limited the amount of children by asking the parents to make a decision whether or not they could work at home. So what we did is opened up for all essential personnel. For example, folks that are in the military were first priority, and the parents work with us. Our center is open, but just for those children whose parents cannot work at home or that do have a job such as the military. So everybody wants to do their part, and we're just grateful for the parents at the Legacy of Learning Center. Thank you, Larry. Bye-bye.
Larry, I couldn't go to church today. They closed down the churches, but yet the pot shops are still open. Now, no one told me that pot is a cure for this virus, but yet they're packing them in the pot shops. It makes absolutely no sense, but I couldn't go to church today because the churches are closed.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. We're in the final few days of my campaign to rush food and clean, safe drinking water to kids in Guatemala through our friends at Food for the Poor. The people we are helping are good, hard workers. But as you can hear, they live in an area where growing food is practically impossible.
Average daytime temperatures in Guatemala have risen over the past decade, and when it does rain, it often pours for days, washing the topsoil away. Guatemala already has the highest rate of child malnutrition in the Western Hemisphere, and in the Western Highlands, indigenous subsistence farmers make up half the population.
Now, this humanitarian crisis of hunger in Guatemala will continue unless we do something about it. Go to my website, LarryElder.com. Click on the Feed Starving Families banner at the very top to make your tax-deductible gift to Food for the Poor. Only takes a minute. All you have to do is go to my website, LarryElder.com, or you can call 855-918-4673, 855-918-HOPE. How bad is chronic malnutrition in Guatemala?
Inside this makeshift kitchen in Guatemala's highlands, Marta Huihui prepares lunch for her children. Her son Alex looks healthy, but the one-year-old is in medical terms chronically malnourished. Traditional diets here lack vital nutrients, meaning children can be 15 centimeters shorter than they should be. But stunting also affects brain development and a child's ability to learn, making it harder to break the cycle of poverty.
$320. That's just $27 a month. Provides a hungry family of four with food for a year, water for life. Please. Feed Starving Family banners at the very top of my website, LarryElder.com, or you can do it by phone, 855-918-4673. That's 855-918-HOPE. Cindy is in Arlington, Texas. Cindy, you're on the Larry Elder Show. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Hi, Larry. I listen to your show almost every day driving home from work, but today you started talking about the Commerce Clause and a lot of the things that the federal government does that they're not supposed to be doing because it's, as you said, not in Article 1 of the Constitution.
Right.
Just wanted to make your listeners aware there is a national organization working on this problem. It's called the Convention of States Project.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of Texas that is involved calling an Article 5 convention from the Constitution. It's the second way that a lot of people don't realize the founders gave us for proposing amendments to the Constitution.
That's right.
While they provided Congress a method in order to fix defects in the Constitution, they worried that if the government became tyrannical and too large someday and ignored the will of the people, then they needed a way through their state legislatures to rein in the federal government and reduce and repel the tyranny. So that's what conventional states is working on, and the Commerce Clause is a big part of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, Cindy, I'm aware of the Convention of States, and I've been following that movement. And you're right, there are two ways to amend the Constitution. One is for Congress to do it, and one is for there to be held a Convention of States to do it. The government is way, way, way bigger than the Founding Fathers intended. They would be blinded by the size of the government, as I pointed out. Just drive around Washington, D.C. sometimes. Look at all the different buildings. I was with Stephen Miller once when he was an aide to Jeff Sessions. We were driving around Washington, D.C., and we were pointing out the various buildings. I was saying to him, what does this one do? What does this one do? What does this one do? And he says, Larry, many of these whole buildings could be eliminated without any repercussions whatsoever. That's how big an intrusive government has gotten. I'm Larry Elder.
Larry will be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Larry Elder Show.
No, don't even want to wait. Hi, Larry. I'm calling. Look, it's real. It's the end of the world. We all have so much time on your hands. I'm thinking, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to call Larry and proclaim my love. Of course, for years, I think about, oh, this world, everything is politics. I used to listen to talk shows for, you know, fun and entertainment. But leave it to you, Larry. I've discovered this is a man who can do politics and fun and entertainment all in one. Probably even more on the fun and entertainment. So I just wanted you to know, I appreciate you so much, and yes, I'm proclaiming my love, Larry.
Well, I appreciate you. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Now, you've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products. If you go to MyPillow.com right now, click on the radio listener specials, you're going to see some incredible offers. An exclusive radio special today, offering a buy one, get one free on a variety of amazing products, including the Suprema MyPillows, the Giza Dream Sheets, the MyPillow Towels, the Roll and Go Anywhere Pillows, Duvet Covers, Giza Pillowcases, Bolster Pillows, and Neck Pillows. Plus, if you buy Mike Lindell's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, you'll get free shipping and a $25 gift card. So go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code Larry, or call 800-890-1843. Again, make sure you use promo code Larry. By the way, MyPillow is answering the call for more face masks as the country continues to deal with the coronavirus pandemic. They will be making face masks for hospitals all across the country. Again, MyPillow.com, enter promo code Larry, or call 800-890-1843. And again, make sure you use promo code Larry. Every day, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, is holding these press conferences. And guess what? There's quiet discussion among Democratic circles. Maybe we can draft this guy if Joe Biden continues to stumble. I'll talk about that later on. And Joe Biden, to remain relevant, has put a makeshift studio in his house. It's been a disaster. He can't read teleprompter. He can't follow his cues. He's been awkward. I mean, it's we'll be talking about that later on. Rod is in Sarasota, Florida. Rod, you're on the Larry Elder Show.
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm well, Rod.
Your show, and I definitely enjoy it.
Thank you.
I'm actually a pawnbroker in Sarasota, Florida, and I own a shop called Cody's Pawn and Jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand that they're thinking about, obviously, taking in Florida gun shops and having them closed down. My huge question is this. I also got told I was a necessity because I lend money, like a bank.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest thing is, you know what, all I want to do is make sure that the people that need the money can get it if I can lend it out. And at the end of the day, guns are guns. There's going to be always people buying them. Everybody around here is just about out of ammo in all the other shops, and I'm just a mom and pop. I started this company last year in September, but I'm worried about, obviously, if this shuts everything down, will I be able to maintain my business or at least keep it?
Rod, do you accept firearms? Do you sell them?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. The pawn shops, I believe, in California can't sell firearms.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So are people coming? Are gun shops shut down in Florida?
Well, that's just it. It actually, they are trying to do that. Mm-hmm. They're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But because I am a dual entity, I'm not a gun shop, just a gun shop itself.
Right.
And that's what they're talking about. It's shutting down gun shops.
Right.
But because my other entity is literally lending, you know, would they shut down bank? No.
Right.
They're not going to shut me down, but will they stop me allowing selling guns even though I'm lending?
Yeah.
It's just kind of a really strange scenario right now, and I'm worried about it, obviously.
Well, if they go so far as to shut down gun stores, it would be a big loophole to allow pawn shops like yours to sell them. So my feeling is if they shut down gun stores, they'll probably prevent you from selling firearms.
Wow. And that makes sense. But, again, at the other end of it is because they have to come in for my shop no matter what, if it's just a store, because of that, wouldn't that be a loophole that I would be able to sell whatever I still do?
Yeah, Rod, I can't answer that. I just don't know. I'd have to take a look at the legislation. But my feeling is if the point is gun shops are deemed to be non-essential and someone can go to a pawn store and buy a gun, that kind of defeats the whole purpose. So whoever is deciding that gun shops ought to be shut down probably will think about what you and I just now talked about and shut you down as well, at least as far as selling firearms are concerned. Real question we ought to be asking ourselves is this a time to tell citizens they can't get firearms as we're releasing prisoners? And as there may be a situation where, because there are shortages, some people decide that they're going to relieve you of your goods because they need them? I mean, honestly, Rod, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate it. Christina is in Elk Grove, California. Christina, you're on the Larry Elder Show.
Yes, I love your program.
Thank you.
I just listened to the guest that spoke about inmates coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know for a fact that in San Quentin, there's a lot of brothers in there that are nonviolent that have a compromised immune system.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
Well, that's why they're letting some people out, because, you know, that's got to be a breeding ground for all sorts of viruses, including the coronavirus. It's a tough situation, but it seems to me, just based on the stats, when you let people out of prison, most of them reoffend, and you have to balance that out as well.
I understand that, but the ones in San Quentin, they are nonviolent inmates, and they are not. There was a big article out in the some newspaper,
mm-hmm.
and I read all about it, that they actually had someone that oversees prison law, and I believe that they need to start checking these brothers out that have this compromised immune system.
Well, Christina, they are prisoners. They did commit crimes. We have to figure out some sort of way of isolating them. But to me, letting them out just because of the coronavirus, people that are likely to reoffend, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. There's a new ad Joe Biden has put out where he slams the response to the coronavirus on the part of President Trump and makes at least two or three falsehoods in his ad. We'll be talking about that later on as well. Also, if you've been to New York recently, Dr. Birx, a member of the coronavirus task force, says you should self-isolate for 14 days. Now, if you're in pain, you want out of pain, right? You know who else wants you out of pain? Your family. They miss the old you. They miss walking, running, playing golf, playing tennis. They miss the active you. They miss the you who could sleep through the night.
Larry's father, Staff Sergeant Randolph Elder, says hard work wins. You get out of life what you put into it. And now, here's Larry Elder.
Yeah, Larry, we need to have the Senate allow the ones that are out sick to be able to vote. They can suspend the rules or change the rules or whatever for this wonderful little pandemic of ours.
Hey, Larry, I love your show. I figured out a way to save the NBA season. Let's just ship all the teams over to China, let them play their games there. We can follow the games on Skype. And since Nike owns the NBA and China owns Nike, it seems like the obvious solution. What do you think, bud?
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. I run it by LeBron James. Great news, No Safe Spaces is now available to watch for a limited time, only at nosafespaces.com. It was the number one political documentary of 2019, and now it's available to watch at home. You're home anyway. Make some good use of your time. Share it with your family. There's a lot of content out there, and a lot of it is being pushed by companies that don't share your values. No Safe Spaces stars Dennis Prager, Adam Carolla, and make you laugh and make you cry. No Safe Spaces has a 99% rating at RottenTomatoes.com, the highest rating of any film last year. It's been called by critics as smart, vital, urgent, one of the most important documentaries that you will need to see today. And it shows how exceptional America is. Stars Dennis Prager, Adam Carolla, but also features Ben Shapiro, Jordan Peterson, Tim Allen, and even some personalities on the left like Van Jones, Cornel West, and Alan Dershowitz. Again, it's available to watch right now for a limited time only at nosafespaces.com. That's nosafespaces.com. Richard is in San Diego. Richard, you're on the Larry Elder Show. Thank you so much for calling.
Well, hi, Larry. And you know what? Two quick things. One, you would be the perfect person to personally pick up the phone, call Bill Maher, ask him to come on the show, and for a public service announcement, describe, please, if he still wants the U.S. to go into recession to get rid of Trump. I'd like to see how he answers that today.
Well, Richard, I assure you that Mr. Maher will not come on my show. We had a dust-up some years ago when he came on my show, and I asked him to stop calling himself a libertarian because he's not a libertarian. I said, you're a liberal, you're a libertine. About the only thing that you're libertarian on is drugs that you think ought to be made legal. But you want taxes raised on rich people. You support affirmative action. You support the minimum wage. You're not a libertarian. Stop calling yourself that. And to say that he was PO'd would be an understatement. And that's pretty much the last time he and I have had any kind of exchange. He knows where to find me. Has never invited me on his show on HBO. Pourquoi? I am Larry Elder.
All across America, The Larry Elder Show.